Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome everyone to Showtime Radio Time. I'm Sweet Rascally Rabbit, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. Today is a really dreary day. It has been raining since the afternoon started. Yikes. But you are tuning in for a book reading, one that I've been continuing to read for this past month, I believe. Wow, has it really been that long? Let's switch to that and then close it. And then let's do this. Because I'm trying to remember, how long has it been since I started reading this book? Jeez. I started at the end of July. Well, in that case, it's almost 2 months. No. Yeah, almost 2 months. Wow. That's impressive. Anyways, train of thought. That sucks. Oh, no. I remember. So, I've actually been trying to figure out what book to read next because I really want to read a Halloween story. I know I'm going to read one on my YouTube channel once I finish Ashlyn's Dream Come True. And I think I know what I'm going to read, but for the radio show, I don't know which one to read. That's kind of scary. Actually, wait, no, scratch that. I don't know what to read for either of them. So I decided to open up one of my documents where I have all the descriptions of my books, and I've chosen the ones that would be best to be read for the Halloween season. And I have actually picked a few. So here are the titles. A Saga of the Rigo Skoden Gang. Yes, I made up that word. And I think I still need to work on that book. But I think I might be able to read it on either the show or the channel and still be able to work on it after it's done. The Blackest of Eyes. Or The Blackest Past, which is the sequel to The Blackest of Eyes. And let's see, An Eternal Secret. And I feel like there's one more, but I can't remember which one it was. I mean, I suppose The Powerful Star, no. I guess it could be Unnatural Habit, but that's particular story is probably not suitable to read unless I give you guys like a warning, because it's a pretty detailed book. Anyways, I'm going to read the descriptions of the ones that I have highlighted, and maybe you guys can help me figure out the rest. I know I don't get very many listeners, but I would love your help. So here's the description for A Saga of the Rigo Skoden Gang. Ghosts exist. What if ghosts can contact you through dreams? Reach inside the story as a young boy discovers secrets about a legendary gang who once lived 100 years ago. The gang is back, and they're going to set things straight. The question is, are they going to set things straight by destroying or making history repeat itself? Dun, dun, dun. No, that wouldn't help. That's too long of a book. No, not Ding Dong Ditch. Jeez. All right, here we go. The Blackest of Eyes. Actually, this one will be best. Athena Spode has a power, one very few people would wish to have. She has a problem, though. She recalls nothing of how she received the power. With her memory of the past blank, she must travel back to her home. She embarks on this journey with a complete stranger who would have thought he would help her so much. Inspired by a song of Imagine Dragons, she must learn how to deal with the demons inside. And it is inspired by a song by Imagine Dragons. It's called Demons. It's actually one of my favorites. And when I've listened to the song, I just scenes depicted in my mind of what could happen in this book, and I decided to write it. All right, and here's the other one, An Eternal Secret. And this one I had super fun writing. I think it's one of the best mystery books I've ever written, actually. Okay, so here we go. Four friends traveled the longest interstate highway in America from their home to an urban legend town they've heard so much. During their stay in River Springs, South Dakota, citizens hesitate to communicate. They don't like that the friends are staying. For centuries, the citizens kept it secret. They couldn't let anyone know about that eternal secret. Oh, man, they sound so sinister. You know what, guys? Yeah. I'll read The Blackest of Eyes, and I'll read Eternal Secrets on my YouTube channel. That way, or I could just read The Blackest of Eyes on both channels, on both the channel and the radio show. Because seriously, I mean, it's such a great book, and I want you guys to know of it. It's one of my favorites. One of my absolute favorites. And the sequel is pretty good, too. I don't like how it ended, though. Hang on. Let me check the time. I'll read the description for The Blackest of Pass, and then after that, I'm going to go ahead and start talking about last week's reading. I probably should go ahead and start talking about that, though, considering how much time is left. All right. Anyways, The Blackest Pass. Following the blackest of eyes, we return to a seven-month pregnant Athena Spode. She receives help from her lawyer, a detective, and a judge to have the most secure house in the city. No one can enter without proper paperwork. Imagine her surprise when a relative finally visits her, but he doesn't have the paperwork. He had no idea. She fears, though, what will happen if he does see her. Yikes. Ooh, yeah, I want to save. Oh, wait, no, I didn't mean to. Ugh, never mind, I didn't want to save. Ugh, seriously? Okay, let me check the time. Okay, no, I think I might have a little bit of time before I can start reading for you all. So, let's see, what happened in the last week's reading, let's see. Melissa was able to bring Lloyd to the Marquez estate, and she found out that that her grandma knows someone not far. It turned out that her grandma knew Lloyd once upon a time, including their old friend who happened to live literally next door, which is like a mile away. So they end up going down there and meeting Joe, who is a lovely woman, but she could barely talk. And she actually helped both Lloyd and Joe cross over. It turned out that Joe ended up accepting his apology, and he told her that she didn't need to apologize because it wasn't her fault of him losing his balance, you know, and climbing that tree. And then I think after that, after that, they head back to Grandma's house, and she ends up getting a vision from Angel. Angel followed her to her grandma's property because she still held the note. She brought the note with her. Ooh, that is not good. I need to clean my water bottle. Sorry. Let's see, where did I stop talking? Right, because during the vision, her grandma heard her cry out, and she pulled her out of the lake, which she was sinking in, and she was able to calm Melissa down, but she could not, she was able to calm Melissa and also happened to pull her out of the vision, but she was still quiet, and that's actually where we are, because she starts bringing up her mom. So let me check the time when we're – yeah, I think I'm just going to go ahead and read just considering I'm a little nervous of what's going to happen when I get close to the end of the reading. So we are going to start here. Let me just clear it off. There we go. "I still can't believe it," she whispered hoarsely. "Why did she leave?" Grandma Burke caressed her cheek.
"Your mom?"
Melissa nodded.
"She had a fracture, Melly. Morin was in so much pain. It wouldn't have been fair to the family if she stayed alive. All that trauma could affect you."
Mama watched her stare at the clouds. She sighed and lied on her back next to Melissa. It got her to look at the shapes of clouds.
"I miss her."
"What do you see?" Mama asked curiously.
"What?"
Her brows narrowed. She glanced at her mama.
"I see a small bunny leaping."
Bunny. She had a smile when Melissa tried to hug her.
"What about you?" "I see a face sticking a tongue out."
Before glancing at her, Mama laughed.
"And I see a bird."
"What happened there?
In the lake?"
Mama asked with concern. She eyed Melissa.
"It was so scary,"
she whispered.
"It felt so real."
"What happened, Melly?"
It stayed quiet for some time before Melissa responded.
"I was swimming. It got hot, really hot, and the water was steaming."
Whoops, she shook her head.
"I could feel it everywhere. I never thought water could get that hot."
"Has this happened before?"
"Yeah, but not in water. Kyler had to take me to the hospital because of it. They said my temperature was too low."
She heard her mama hum in thought.
"What? I wonder if the ghost is telling you how he or she died."
That made Melissa remember something the first time it happened.
"I think I know who,"
Melissa whispered. She glanced at Mama.
"The first time I saw steam was at home in the bathroom. The ghost wrote note when the mirror got covered in the steam."
"Note?"
Grandma Burke narrowed her brows.
"And this tells you who?"
"Yeah, it does,"
she responded confidently.
"The night I saw Mom, I found this note. It was in a weird handwriting, and words were misspelled, I think."
"I'd like to see that note,"
she said with a raised brow. Melissa giggled. She stood.
"Racy to the house!"
Mama laughed before slowly standing. A few minutes later, she and Mama sat on the couch and read the note together.
"Randy Wu. I never heard that name before, but I understand why you had trouble reading it."
Melissa looked at her.
"A lot of people around my time didn't have much education, even the generous folks."
"It's also what Mom told me,"
she said, making Mama narrow her brows at her.
"I have dyslexia.
Grandma Burke smiled faintly.
"She said it runs in the family."
"She's right. Your grandfather had dyslexia, too."
She stood to walk to a bookcase, bringing a few more books to Melissa.
"Why don't we work on that first, before you read the books on ghosts?"
"That sounds great, Mama,"
she said with a smile. She pocketed the notes. Grandma Burke helped her read a short book on improving her dyslexia. It seemed to do a lot for Melissa. After a few hours, she went to the kitchen with Mama and watched her making snacks.
"I know the weekend is for us to talk and you to learn, but you are welcome to do what you please."
She saw Melissa perk up with excitement.
"As long as you come to me before leaving the estate." What?
Melissa narrowed her brows.
Why would I leave? I know for a fact you won't find Randy Wu or his family on this property. You'll need to venture out to meet all my neighbors. One of them might have a clue where you can find him. Oh, thank you, Mama.
She hugged Mama tightly before taking the snack.
You're awesome.
Melissa hurried off.
Wait, Melly. Where are you going? To ride my bike.
Mama chuckled.
Dinner is in 2 hours.
Melissa waved a hand while she grabbed her helmet. Chapter 6. Making peace after all. As she rode on the dirt road, she concentrated on not losing balance. It was different from riding her bike on flat concrete. Melissa didn't expect it to be rough. She stopped after 20 minutes of riding. She wanted to see what was around. Melissa couldn't look at everything while she rode. It wouldn't have helped if she did. Melissa saw a few houses surrounding her. That made her smile a bit. She walked her bike out of the dirt road and put up the kickstand. Butterflies in her stomach, she knocked on one of the house's doors. A woman of 32 annuals opened and saw her. She gave Melissa a small smile. Peering out, she looked around.
Hello, young lady. Are you lost?
Melissa shook her head.
I actually came from my mama's estate.
Ugh, jeez, sorry, I messed that up.
I actually came from my mama's at the Marquez estate.
It still bugged her. She had trouble saying the name. She saw that the woman recognized the estate's name.
Oh, you must be one of Vestal's grandchildren. Yeah, I am. She let me explore the neighborhood by myself.
Brave one, aren't you?
My brother would say curious. Ah, I see,
she said with a smile.
What's your name? I'm Melissa. What's yours?
Vestal knows me as Castaneda,
but you can call me Sally.
Lizzie said.
Come on. Come on in. I bet you're thirsty. I am a bit,
she said while she stepped inside. Melissa did bike on a pretty hot afternoon.
Please sit down. I'll get you a glass of water.
Instead of sitting down, Melissa walked around the living room. She was amazed at how many books Lizzie had. That's when she recognized the spine of a particular book. The same book of ghost know-how Mama gave her. It made Melissa curious of Sally. When Lizzie came in with her water, turned her head to her. She spoke up about the book.
My Mama has this. She showed it to me.
Really? Have you read it yet? Lizzie wondered while giving her the glass of water. Melissa took a sip and sat down. She shook her head.
Not yet, but I will. I still have trouble reading. I need to read that book, though, plus some others about ghosts.
I'm curious. Why the interest of ghosts?
Mama thinks it'll help me understand what I can do.
I don't understand, Lizzie said, narrowing her brows.
I can see them and talk to them.
She saw Lizzie's eyes widen in shock.
So far, Mom has crossed over, and this afternoon, I helped the boy and Joe cross over.
Melissa drank more of the water. She put down the glass. Joe? You mean the nice elderly woman up the road? Her brows narrowed again before Melissa nodded.
But I saw her this morning. She was fine. A bit pale, but fine.
She's lying, a ghost said. Melissa glanced around. She spotted a ghost of 19 annuals. He saw her looking at him and smiled. You can see me. Ugh, finally. While uncomfortably shifting her legs, Melissa cleared her throat. Oh, right. She was visiting her, but Joe was so weak that she had to help her move to the couch.
You're lying.
Well, I never.
You are. Mama said she was ill, that she might have trouble talking.
All right, fine. I didn't know something was wrong with Miss Romero. She sighed.
I just never thought she could be that sick.
Melissa innocently smiled at the truth.
I was taught that telling the truth is better than creating a lie. the truth hurts someone's feelings or might change their judgment of you.
She explained, thinking of her dyslexia.
That's a good lesson,
Lizzie whispered with a heavy heart. When Melissa heard her tone, she had a feeling Sally was thinking about the ghost. She turned her head to him. Melissa then spoke.
What's your name?
She asked the ghost. He smiled, but not before Lizzie popped her neck by moving her head quickly to Melissa.
What?
Lizzie asked hoarsely. Her eyes widened when she saw Melissa facing an empty space. It's Cody, spelled with a K. And tell her that the news she gave me never changed my opinion of her.
Do you know someone named Cody? He says it's spelled with a K. Cody? He's here. You see him?
She whispered hoarsely with wide, sad eyes. Lizzie involuntarily shivered.
Did he say anything?
Melissa nodded, slightly narrowing her brows at the message.
He said that the news you gave him never changed his opinion of you.
A tear rolled down Lizzie's cheek.
Please, Cody, I want to hear that opinion again. I miss your voice so much.
That I do know, he chuckled while he carefully placed a hand on her arm, caressing it like he used to do. Lizzie felt a cool energy where he touched. She still plays the recordings I gave her. My songs were never released.
Songs? He told you.
She scoffed before wiping her tear away.
He didn't like people listening to his works. I kept telling him that he was really talented.
And that's what I love about her, Cody said. Even after she got that book published, my opinion never changed. It made me love her even more. Melissa repeated what he said. It put a smile on Lizzie's face. And let me check, everyone, how much time is left. Oh, wow, we actually have quite a bit. I'll read a little bit more, but it's not going to be much, I suppose. It put a smile on Lizzie's face.
Cody, I want to hear that opinion.
Cody shook his head. Not until you say it. I already have.
He says, not until you say it. He already has.
She saw Sally roll her eyes.
I love you, Cody. Always have. And I always will.
That got him and Melissa to smile. He said what he thought of her. She conveyed the message.
You are the kindest and open-minded woman he knows. You always manage to make everyone around you to smile or laugh. And even when you're hurt, physical or emotional, you keep that big heart of yours open for all the world to see. That's the woman he fell in love with.
While she spoke, she had watched Sally crying happy and sad tears. There's more. Melissa glanced at him. She nodded for him to continue. She's changed. Ever since that public scene of an obsessed fan, she's been hiding. She's closed her heart. He moved his hand to Lizzie's cheek. Lizzie felt the cool temperature and put her hand on that cheek. It went through his hand. It's been 5 years, love. You need to open it again.
Cody has more to say,
Melissa said. Lizzie nodded nimbly.
I figured as much. He tends to drag on to try to bring up your confidence.
She paused.
Oh, no,
she whispered. She covered her face as she listened. And I think that's where I'm going to stop, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful and sad at the same time. Crazy. Oh. All right. Well, I think. I don't know. I mean, there's still a little bit of time left before I can say goodbye, but actually, no, I know what I'm going to say before I say goodbye. So there's this one song that I actually really like, and I've been trying to get this song to go with one of the readings outro, and it's been such a hassle because I normally try to use a song that matches with the reading, the message of it, I should say, rather than the actual lyrics. But the message of this particular song is so kind of out of place. It's not the kind of message that I... I'll just let you guys listen, because this particular song I actually really like. It's from a former Disney star, and I hope you all like it. So I hope you all have a good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rescue Rabbit, saying goodbye with... Jericho by Hilary Duff. Bye, everyone.